ask a continued interest in your prayers. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 161 tonight. This is the 21st section of this psalm. We have one more after this. The letter Shin, verse 161 through 168, speaks of peace and security from loving and trusting God's word. Peace and security in loving and trusting God's word. Verse 161 says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." I hope all of our hearts tonight and tomorrow and the next day stand in awe at the word of God. To experience persecution from an individual can cause great concern. But if it should come from one with great authority, he said, "Princes have persecuted me." So if it should come from one with great authority, that would be a much greater concern, wouldn't it? But if it should come from one, but notice that David said, "But his heart remained in awe of God's word." I know he said, "My heart standeth," but what he means there is it remains in awe of God's word. In other words, David wasn't shaken by the persecution of others. It may have caused him concern. It no doubt was a trouble, but his heart was not shaken. He remained in awe. In other words, while they indeed persecuted him, he was so confident in God's faithfulness that he still remained focused upon truth and godliness rather than the distraction of their persecution. Now, haven't we noticed that that confidence that David had, haven't we noticed that on many occasions? That extreme confidence that David displayed. There's not too many other characters in the Bible that gives us more of that than the character of David, having confidence in the Lord. Well, we could learn a lot from that, couldn't we? Confidence. But life teaches us that, doesn't it? You go through those experiences of life and you see the Lord faithful, and you understand what David is talking about, all right? So he remained focused upon truth and godliness rather than the distraction of their persecution. You know, that's what the old devil would want you to be, is fearful, distracted, shaken. He's good at that, isn't he? But we want to remain focused upon truth and godliness. David trusted that if he was trying to do what was right, he could expect the Lord to be his rearward. Remember that word? That's a rich word, isn't it? Hard to say, but it's a rich word in meaning. And later on in Isaiah 52 and 12, God's people were given this assurance if they were obedient to him, saying, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." So that is, God will go before, and he'll come behind to provide protection and peace of mind to do his will. Now, doesn't that line up, I don't have this in the notes, but doesn't that line up perfectly with the armor of God? That we have that armor for the front so that we can face the enemy, we can continue to try to do God's will, but there's no armor for the back. And there's no need for the armor for the back, because as long as we're trying to do God's will, he'll take care of the consequences. He'll come behind and protect us. What wonderful help and blessing we have. David understood that. And so we find that because David understood that, he had a tremendous confidence in the Lord. He was not shaken by their persecution. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. One that findeth great spoil. Now, spoil is not found by our searching, but through a challenge, a struggle, and victory. See, spoils go to the victor, don't they? Spoils don't go to the loser. If you don't engage in the fight, if you don't find that struggle, then there's no spoil to be had. So notice what David is saying here. I rejoiced at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So spoil is not found by our searching, but through a challenge, a struggle, and a victory. Notice he just said something about persecutors, but he remained faithful and unshaken. All right. So what David is expressing is that although persecution came against him, he trusted God's love for him and proved his words and promises to be faithful. And that's what we need to do. We need to be proving God's word, proving his faithfulness. It is faithful. It is true. But we need to prove it. Not that we can disprove it, but that we can prove to ourselves that God's word is the truth. And I tell you, that's a blessing when we can see it being lived out before us. Therefore, he had found them to be something of tremendous worth. This is treasure that can never be spent or used up. But this treasure can be used over and over again with just as much remaining available as there ever was. Isn't that good? As far as God is concerned and how his goodness and mercy endureth forever, his truth shall stand. I mean, whatever blessings we have of the Lord, as far as our understanding of who he is and what he is and how we can trust his word, it remains forever. And we can trust in it every day. Trust God, accept the challenges, and prove the faithfulness of his word. The more we do that, the more in which we'll find to rejoice about the true and faithful word of God. And then we too, like David, could find great spoil. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. I hate, that's strong language, isn't it? I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. What is there to love about a lie? Thank you. I mean, generally, what good can come of it? Now, I know that a lot of people take Romans 8:28, you know, and they'll say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, I know that's the scripture. I know that that verse is true, but how they apply it, I'm not going to say that every bad thing that happens to people, that something good's going to come out of it. I will say that God is still good, and God is still gracious, and his grace is sufficient, and we might come out of it stronger. But there's some awful things that happens to folks, and I just don't find that I could, you know, I mean, some even come out and say, now, I don't know why God did this. Well, God didn't do that. not going to charge God foolishly. Now, he could have stopped it if he chose. But we live in a fallen world. There's evil all around us. Bad things happen to good people every day. That's why God took care of our salvation for us. All right? But he said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now, I know there are passages like Joshua 2 and 5 where Rahab misdirected the king's men. Remember that? And Genesis 20 and 2 when Abraham said Sarah was his sister. I remember, you know that. But those cases were done out of a desire to thwart evil. Now, some would say, now, no, Abraham was trying to save his neck. Well, wouldn't that have been an evil act if that king had killed Abraham? But he wasn't going to, because God had plans for Abraham. And we know that from the Old Testament. All right? But they neither meant nor caused any harm to anyone by what they said. God had a higher purpose in those things. But David didn't just say that he hated a lie, but lying. See the difference? This wasn't just his position about it, but because of his great love for God's law, he carried an active passion against this wicked practice of lying. You know, there's some folks you just can't trust what they say. And sometimes you wonder, well, there was not even any reason for them to lie about something. But then there's other times when there are people that lie about something because they have a malicious intent. Or to make themselves look better than they are. David hated, he used the word abhor, lying. Okay? Just think of the pain and sorrow that has been experienced because of lying. Just think of your own life. Some of those arrows that have stung us and burned us because of somebody that lied to us. And think about all the lies that's happened in the world, all down through time. In fact, all the pain and sorrow of man has been because of the lies of Satan. Do you realize that? You agree with that? I mean, don't agree just because I said it. But I mean, that's at the root of it, isn't it? The lies of Satan, the deception. Satan beguiled Eve, which means she was deceived with consequences. And those were great consequences, weren't they? Because of Satan's deception. Because of that, sin entered into the world. And look at all the sorrow and the pain that's been experienced by mankind. If you think that's too strong, listen to how Jesus described him, that is Satan, in John 8:44, saying, ye are all, he's speaking to those Jews that he was talking to at that time that could not receive his word. His word had no place in them. They couldn't hear it because they were not of God. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? That's the words of Jesus. He's not given an opinion, he's given you absolute truth. Because he knows exactly how he is. So anything that is of Satan, I hate it too. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven conveys the idea of completeness. David may have had designated times when he would remember to praise God. You know, we covered a section not long ago where he talked about he prevented the night watch. It may have been his habit when he woke up at the sound of the watchman that maybe he praised God. I don't know. But I rather think that he meant that his day was complete with praising God. I didn't put this in the notes, but you can go back through the Old Testament, and if you have a computer and you do a search on seven times, and you've got, there's a lot of, in the book of Leviticus, especially when the priest would perform their offerings and on ceremonies, the sprinkling would be done seven times. An idea of completion. You got 7 days in a week to complete the week. The wrap, you know, if you remember in Matthew 18:21, Peter asked the question, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother that sins against me? Seven times? Do you know why he said ask seven times? Because that's what the rabbis taught. They taught that if you did something seven times, it was completed. That was enough. How did Jesus respond to that? I say not seven times, but 70 times seven. If you're going to keep score that long, you need to change your attitude. All right? But seven times was kind of regarded as an idea of complete, or, well, it's biblically, the idea of completeness. All right? So David says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. In persecution, he praised God. In the midst of liars, you know, we just talked about lying, he praised God. All right? He's so worthy of praise. May we never let the vain and perishable things of this world capture our attention so long that we would forget our regular and highest duty to praise God. I believe that's how David spent his day. All right? Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's an interesting verse. Before I get into the notes here, does anything offend you? Pardon? Does anything offend you? Yeah. So we've got to understand why David would say, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. To the born-again child of God, the more we understand of God's law, the more we realize how sinful we are. Okay? But also, the more he shows us our need of him, the more we rejoice in the gospel of Christ and in the great peace which Jesus wrought for us by dying in our stead. How wonderful that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that verse? The last verse of Romans chapter 8. Okay? Now, so the closer we are to the Lord, and the more diligently we try to follow his word, the more the mind of Christ we will have toward others. In being more patient and kind and merciful and forgiving. So when offenses come, we can just consider the source. We can pray for them. And we can continue to rejoice in what we're blessed to know and the peace that Jesus has brought to us and not be offended. So the closer we are to the Lord, the harder it's going to be for us to be offended by them, because we're thinking more godly thoughts, we're more merciful and forgiving. You know, when you're having a bad day, you got to watch out, don't you? If you're having a bad day, just about anything can offend you. And just about anyone can offend you, can't they? But when our mind is where it ought to be, and we're thinking about the Lord and His mercy on us, that helps us to be more merciful to others. Now, other folks that don't love the Lord, they're not going to care anyway. They're not going to be offended by any godliness. Well, I mean, they'll be offended by godliness, but what I'm saying is when our mind is where it ought to be, then they're not going to offend us. So when we get offended, we need to check our own mind and not, and realize that God has been so merciful to us. And we need to remember to pray for those. Instead of criticizing, pray for them. It's hard to feel ill towards somebody when you're praying for them. You may not agree with their lifestyle. You may not agree with what they're doing. But you can, if God's had mercy on us, can't we have mercy on somebody else? Not that we condone what they do. Not that we would aid them in what they might be doing. But we can pray for them. We can have mercy upon them. And ask the Lord to be merciful to them like He's been merciful to us. Verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. Both of these thoughts are a great source of peace as well. That is salvation and doing His commandments. You know, Jesus said, happy are, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Okay? So to hope in the salvation and to do the commandments. Both of these thoughts are a great source of peace as well. For us to hope in the salvation of the Lord causes us to trust in His strength and not ours. It causes us to trust in the merit of Jesus' blood and not in our righteousness. Because we know what our righteousnesses are, don't we? Okay? So we can't trust in that. And when we're doing this, we're more sensible of pleasing the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. We do not claim any perfection of our own, but wholly lean and depend upon His help to do His will each day. He said, Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. Verse 167. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. There's great joy and encouragement within our very soul as we keep the Word of God. You know, those days when you just feel like the Lord's so close to you and you've got a joyful spirit about you and maybe you've been blessed to be a help to somebody else. It just really lifts your spirits and gives you strength and encouragement, doesn't it? All right? The Holy Spirit rejoices with our spirit as we walk in agreement. Okay? Once we understand this, then we can readily feel the difference between walking with the Lord and feeling as though we've left Him behind. You know what I'm talking about? That's a bad feeling, isn't it? When you feel like you've gone your way and left the Lord behind. It's time to try to find him again, isn't it? Because it just gets worse if you keep going. That's right. So, once we've experienced that, once we know the difference, all right? Likewise, the more we read and meditate upon his word, the more we will love it. Now, you just have to accept the fact. If you don't know that yet, I think all of you do, but if a person doesn't know that, then they're in for a blessing if they just try it. Prove him. Okay? And the more we love his word, the more of his presence we will feel with us throughout our day. So why would we ever choose to leave his word behind either? I mean, I think anybody that claims to love the Lord, if you ask them, would you leave the Lord behind while you go about your day? I don't think anybody would say that they would. Well, why would we leave his word behind either? Because the more we read his word, the more we study that word, the more we try to follow that word, the more of his presence we're going to feel with us. All right. And then verse 168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. We certainly understand that last part, don't we? For all my ways are before thee. For this verse, Charles Spurgeon suggested that both the practical aspects and the doctrinal aspects of God's word are meant. And as the more I pondered on that, I felt like that he had that right. That both must be kept in balance before the Lord. So let us not be hypocritical or pharisaical in being rigid in doctrine yet lax in practice. Ever see anybody like that? Okay. Or vice versa. You know, lax in doctrine but rigid in practice. Okay. Neither one is good, is it? Okay. So if we're going to, didn't Jesus say if we offend in one point, we're guilty? James tells us if we offend in one point, we're guilty of it all. So what we want to do is have a balanced approach. We want to understand the word and how we should walk. All of our ways are before the Lord. And granted, we're all still learning. Aren't we? I am. I seem like I have more questions today than I ever have. It seems like the deeper we dig into the Word of God, the more it just opens up. And so we know that's true. We know there's far more there than we'll ever understand this side of glory. And I'm not sure what the process will be on the other side, if we'll continue to learn or if we'll all have a full understanding. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? But we're all still learning. I probably told you a number of times about, I was working in Colorado one time, and a lady had a little figurine on her desk. Little fella dressed in a carpenter's outfit with hammer and tools. And the caption down there said, I'm a Christian under construction. That's the way we are. We're all learning. So perhaps we should also pray as David did in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. You familiar with those verses? Sometimes I make that a part of my prayers. I recommend it. Says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a good prayer in itself. I have, from time to time, had a burden to use that in my praying, and it doesn't take the Lord long at all to bring something to mind about me that needs to improve. So, to say, see if there's any wicked way in me, maybe not wicked, but there's plenty to improve on. We're all growing. We're all learning. And so when David said, I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee, God sees it all, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
When we're interacting with folks, we have to depend on what we can observe and what they say. God's not limited to that. All of our ways are before him. So it would do us well to pray that prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Then, as we study his word, may we also pray that the perfect guidance of his Holy Spirit will ever lead us to apply it correctly to our walk. Now, the leading of the Spirit is perfect. Our following of it may not be, but the leading of his Spirit is perfect. And aren't you glad that he gives us his Spirit to be with us and to lead us and to give us those thoughts that we need at times? I tell you, it is a tremendous blessing that we oftentimes take for granted, that God gives us his Spirit to help us. In the book of John, he speaks of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Comforter is one that's to come alongside and give aid and assistance. And certainly the Holy Spirit does that for us many, many times. All right, that way we will honor our Lord more perfectly. And we'll be a more sincere and faithful example for others to follow in trying to be more Christ-like. All right, so two things there. David said, I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. So the more we seek to follow him more perfectly, the more we honor the Lord. And that's good. We want to do that, don't we? But there's times when there's others that's following our example or watching our example. And so we want to give folks the best example we can and follow in the right way. So those that are trying to be more Christ-like, because after all, we want to be a helper to others and not cast a stumbling block before them. We certainly don't want to do that, do we? You know, in the Old Testament, there was a heavy penalty for those that would cast a stumbling block in front of someone, especially those that were fleeing to the city of refuge. It was a heavy penalty to hinder someone from getting to that refuge that God had provided. And certainly we don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody else. So may we, as David, keep the precepts and those testimonies, the practical and the doctrinal, be circumspect in our thinking, so to speak, like the book of Ephesians tells us. That is, well-rounded in our understanding and in our practice, so that we can be a faithful example to others. All right. So these verses teach us that there's peace and security from loving and trusting God's word. All right. Someone have a number to close out with? Number 243. May stand while we sing.